Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Malcolm, what is a Schwenk grill?
Well, let me tell you about Schwenk grill, Shell. It's a portable 1,500-degree cooking machine. It uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in as little as 3 minutes. So you can cook a ribeye in 3 minutes flat, Shell. The Schwenk grills cooks like those fancy 1,500-degree broiler-type grills that are used in steakhouses all over the country, some fancy steakhouses, too. And you can cook just about anything on them. They got all kinds of accessories for them. They're portable. You can put them on your back porch. You can take them with you if you're going camping or wherever.
And check out. There's a link in the description with a coupon code to receive $150 off Schwenk grills. And that coupon code is How to BBQ Right.
Y'all check them out. All right, welcome back to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm your host, Malcolm Reed, joined by my lovely, talented wife, Miss Southern Shell. Right across from me, we got Tyler over here on the boards, and I think we're going to have a special guest here later on in the episode. Is that right, Shell?
Yes, Nick Bauer from Primo Grills is going to come and talk about ceramic grill cooking.
I'm excited.
Everything Primo.
I'm excited to learn all about Primo, what they got coming up, and all the new stuff. So I've been cooking on one for a minute now.
But before we get into that, I wanted to talk to you about this week's recipe.
Oh, man. The Cinco de Mayo recipe. I always love this time of year because I get to do some Mexican recipes yeah. or my version of some Mexican recipes because nothing I do on that's authentic, y'all. I've been to Mexico one time. No, I've been twice. My parents took me and my brother like on a Texas tour, and we drove all over Texas one summer. It's like the longest trip I've ever been in my life with my family. And we had, and of course, you just hit all these spots, but we made our way down to the border and we crossed.
Did you drive or walk?
No, we drove in the big conversion van. And it was this is one of them Clark Griswold style trips. Or
that was back when you could just go across the border and come back.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did.
We
made it. And my dad didn't have a plan. He was like, he wanted to go see JR's house in Dallas. And we had to go to Waco to see where the massacre was or something like that. We went to San Antonio. We did get to go to SeaWorld and the Alamo and some things like that. That was a cool town. And then we went down to like the border, and then we went back to like Corpus Christi, but it's Padre Island.
Oh yeah.
So we ended up at Padre Island. We stayed there a few days, and then we drove all the way back. I mean, it was a long vacation.
I've been to South Padre Island before.
Yeah, it was cool. But we crossed at Laredo. I think it was Nuevo Laredo. It's like Laredo's on one side, Nuevo Laredo's on the Mexican side, and you walk across the bridge and go to all the little shops. It was pretty cool.
Did you eat any Mexican food while you were down there?
I think my papaw like ordered some tacos and some Cokes. But down there, it's not like they have a price. Or back then, it was like you just negotiated. And he considered himself an expert negotiator. So he liked it. Talking them down on some Cokes and some tacos. I got a sombrero. I think a sombrero is still at my mom and dad's house. I need to see if I can find it.
Your mom sent it home with Michael.
So we have it at the house? Yeah. That's a classic sombrero.
It's a really good sombrero. It's like high quality.
It is. It's authentic.
Yeah. You can tell it's old. You know, it's 100 years old now. Yeah. But
it's not 100 years old. I was probably 12 when we went to Texas.
So it's 40 years old.
Yeah. I'm not 52 yet. I'll be 49 this year. Thank you.
But I was close.
You're close. But yeah, so that's my experience. And then we stopped on a cruise one time.
That's right.
And I don't even know if that counts because it was just tourist stuff. That's the only thing. I've never been to like old Mexico and got to explore the culture and the food and all that. That would be very, very cool.
But you do like it.
I love it. I love the Americanized version of it. I don't know what it really is. But, I mean, Hernando's famous for its Mexican restaurants. We've got at least 7 or 8 right here in town in this metropolis of Hernando. Yeah. It's pretty much our main dining option.
So you did birria ribs.
I did. And is that how you say it, birria?
Birria.
I can't roll my tongue like that. I'm working on it, trying to do these turkey calls. But
birria.
How do you say it, Tyler?
Birria.
Birria.
Birria. I can't do it. I'm going to work on that. But that's what I did. So I love those style of tacos. And we really didn't see them in Mexican restaurants around here till the past few years.
Yeah,
probably two or 3 years.
A trend or a fad.
Yeah, it got on social media, kind of brought it up, and everybody started doing it. So I've done it like and typically, I think the original version is usually done with goat or something like that. But
You've done here, beef cheeks.
We've done it with beef. I've done it with beef cheeks. I've done it with the chuck roast. I've done it with deer meat at deer camp. So I've done it several different ways. Well, it got me to thinking, you know, I was trying to think of come up with something for the Cinco de Mayo, put out a new video, something different. And I was like, well, I've never seen ribs done like that. Why couldn't you? We braise ribs down when we wrap them. You know, most of the time it's butter and apple juice and brown sugar and all that sweet stuff. And I'm not a huge fan of that anymore. It's just, I mean, that's early. That's competition barbecue stuff. It's great. There's nothing wrong with it. But I like different flavors and stuff and just experimenting and doing things. So I was like, let's do that with ribs. And so I guess I was at Kroger. Y'all know I do the aisles when I go to the grocery store. Shell hates going with me because I got to walk up and down them and see all the stuff. Well, I got down one aisle, and it was like the sauce aisle, like where the little packets for beef stew seasoning are, the gravy mixes, all that stuff. And they had some Berea-style sauce in a jar, Private Selection brand.
I think
it's Kroger brand. You may have.
Yeah.
Well, I used it, and it turned out fantastic. That was kind of... So a lot of times when making this style of a taco, it's all about cooking that meat down and making that consomme, and that juice is where you get all your flavor from the meat. And it starts with cooking down peppers and tomatoes and onions. Yeah, you got to make that first and blend it. Then you put it over your meat after you brown it typically, and it cooks down so you get all those flavors in it. Well, they did all that in this jar, and it is as good as authentic. Probably not, but it's pretty good though. I mean, I tasted it right out of the jar on the video. And I was like, wow, this has got some flavor. I don't have to season it too much because it's already got it in there.
I used it in a crock pot with the chuck roast, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good. Just for something quick. I mean, that doesn't take, you know, a lot of prep time. You're not in the kitchen making a sauce and blending it and doing all the stuff you're doing to it. So I took some spare ribs, like a meaty spare rib. You could do it with baby backs if you wanted to, but spare ribs work great. St. Louis cut.
I like the flavor of spare ribs better.
Pulled the membrane off, trimmed them up. I even squared them a little bit so they look good. And then I seasoned them just with some salt first. I just cranked some kosher salt over them.
So why do salt, then a binder, then seasoning?
It's innately in me to season something with salt first, just on the meat. Meat and salt. And a lot of times meat and salt's all you need. Yeah. I mean, it really is. If you want to taste the meat and the smoke you're putting on it and all that, it's not bad. But I just put that salt on there first, and it kind of acts as the first thing touching the meat, starts pulling some moisture out. That salt can kind of flavor it some. It's not like a heavy salt, like I was curing it or anything.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, you know, what kind of binder could I use? Did I need a binder? Maybe not, but I like the little vinegar element of a hot sauce. And I buy the Valentina hot sauce. It's a cheap Mexican-style hot sauce. And you see it at all kinds of Mexican restaurants. And we've been eating it on tacos for a long time. It's not too hot. Now, I buy the mild. They have a hot or caliente.
Have you tried the hot?
It'll burn you down. I mean, for me, it burns me down. Yeah. For a chili head, it's probably not that bad. But it makes a great binder, especially if you're doing like a Mexican-inspired dish. And so I just, you know, put a little bit on the outside, kind of rubbed it in with the salt because it's not salty. And then I added my Mexican season, which is a Grande Gringo, but you could use, if you've got a favorite Mexican season, use that. But that goes on the outside, and I'm pretty liberal with it. It's sticking really well and giving it a pretty color.
And the Grande Gringo doesn't have
a lot of salt either. It's not a heavy sodium seasoning either. It's got more chilies and flavors like that, cumin and Mexican oregano, things like that in it. So it's peppery. It's got a little heat, but you still get that smokiness from it, from the chilies that are in it. So that goes on the outside, and I just kind of let it sit at room temperature while I fired up a grill. I used my Outlaw stick burner, but you could do that. As long as you can hold 275, you could do it on any grill.
Yeah, you could do it on a pellet grill.
Yeah.
Offset. Do it on,
yeah. If you got a propane grill that you could hold.
A Primo.
Primo would work fine. I mean, for real. Any smoker or any kind of grill would work for it. You just need to be 275 for the first 2 hours. That's going to set your color. It's going to start rendering the fat. You're going to see a little bit of bone pullback. But my kind of telltale indicator, and you can see in the video, at like that hour and 45 mark, I checked it. That was the first time I opened it or did anything. And I'm putting my finger on the surface of the meat and trying to touch it and see if it's still tacky. If the seasoning comes off, it's not ready. I'm wanting to set a bark, and that's what it does. And so once it gets that pretty kind of mahogany color, and the seasoning's helping you get a lot of that color too in the smoke, and they're ready to wrap at that point, because all you're going to do is keep getting them dark. Now, you could do a no-wrap rib on this, but you're not going to make that awesome sauce, that consomme in the wrap.
I feel like the sauce in the wrap is a really important part of this recipe.
I think so too. And so what I did, now you could pan them. That would work for this recipe too.
Just get a pan, put your ribs in there.
And pour the sauce over it and then put a lid on it or full over the top, stick it back on the pit, get them tender. But what we're doing at this point is that braise, and that's kind of what that Brie style is. It's a long braise. Yeah. And that's what we're doing. So I took a double layer full. I took the ribs off the pit, laid them meat side up first. And with that sauce, I added a little bit of beef broth and just a little bit of gringo to season it. But I tasted it to see how much it needed, and it didn't need much.
You know, I was thinking about this. You use beef broth. Why don't they have chicken broth? They have vegetable broth.
Why don't you say pork broth?
Why no pork broth?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I guess people don't. You could use it a lot because I know a lot of people use, like, in Asian cooking, they'll use pork bones and make it down to make a broth. And we use, like, ham base in a lot of stuff. We use the dehydrated stuff.
Yeah.
It adds, I mean, even to soups and stews and dishes and beans and greens and all the good stuff, that pork gives it a good flavor.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
But anyway, so I made that sauce and kind of thinned it down with a little beef broth because it's not super thin. I mean, it's pourable sauce, but it's kind of got a consistency to it from all the peppers and the vegetables in it. So that goes on the meat side of the ribs. And then I flip them over and I do the same thing to the backside. And then I wrap them up tight. And I did that for both racks. And they go right back on the pit for about an hour and a half. That's going to get them to, I like my ribs to be somewhere between 202 and 205 for that really, really tender bite. It's almost fall off the bone, but they're hanging on. They got some integrity still, and that's just where they're perfect. So after about an hour and a half, I pulled one off and checked it. When I picked it up, you could see in the video that it was flexible, and I was like, that's a telltale right there. If I'm feeling it bend and want to break inside the full, I know I'm where I want to be.
Do you think you could just grab a slab of ribs in the full and tell
and be pretty done? Pretty close. But I still went ahead and verified it. So when I got them out, carefully opened them up because you don't want to lose that juice that's in that wrap. That stuff's like liquid gold. Don't use it. Don't lose it. Don't lose that. That's part of the recipe. But I carefully opened them up and I started checking with my handheld thermopen. And I was like 204, 205, super soft. Bones are looking like they're about to jump out. They're done. And so they're actually done cooking at this point. So what I do is I take like a little raised rack and I call them one of my pork racks. Well,
you
let them
rest. Rest for an hour.
You let them rest. I mean, I always like to let, you know, I preach that, let my meat rest. So I let them rest about an hour just sitting out.
When you let them rest, are you letting them rest meat down in that juice?
Okay. They stay meat down in it. I don't flip them. If you flip them, it can separate off the bones, and that's where they get really fall apart. But when you start letting them rest, what do? Is they tighten up just a little bit, which is what you want, and they're still staying down in all that braising liquid that's inside that full.
And you're not putting any like weight on them.
Not putting any extra weight on them. Gravity's doing its normal thing. The meat's staying on the bottom instead of being raised up a little and can separate or pull. That's the whole thinking on that.
Hanging in the
bones are just hanging in there. They're sitting there on top still snug. But after they rested about an hour, I knew that whenever you wrap ribs, the color of them kind of goes away. You lose a lot of it because you got to think you're trapping all that in there. There's a lot of moisture in there. It's kind of breaking down that bark, that seasoning that you put on the outside. So often you'll need to reseason a little bit or let them dry out. Now, if I wanted them saucy, that's the point. I could have sauced these ribs, but I didn't want them. I wanted them kind of dry. And
it sounds more like
what you might see if they were doing ribs. So I took them out of the wrap real careful. I opened it up, made sure I didn't lose the juice, used some gloves, and then kind of just cradled them over to a little raised rack, one of my pork racks that I wrapped in full. That just makes them easier to put back on the grill. Did them on the backside, season them lightly with a little more gringo, flip them over meat side real carefully, season just a light layer, not much. I'm just trying to get that color back. Did that for both racks and set them right back on the pit. Still 275 the whole time.
It's amazing what pulling them out of the wrap, putting just a little bit of rub on them and putting them back on the pit for 15 minutes does for the appearance.
Brings them right back. You still get that look you had before going in. Like, I mean, you could have ate them. They're ready to eat right out of that wrap. When they come off that grill and you see they're 202 to 205, they're done. But resting them, letting them cool off just a little bit, lock up just a little bit, dusting them lightly and sticking them back on the pit just long enough to dry them out. That's all it's doing is drying the surface of it out. It's not cooking it anymore. We've kind of stopped that process. And I'm not leaving them on there long. 15 minutes is all. Sometimes it don't take but about 7 minutes. Just depends on how hot your heat is. And if you put them in like a hot spot, like that microwave shelf on the, oh, it would have done it super fast, like 5 minutes. So, and I wasn't in any hurry. So we dried them out, pulled them back off. And at this point, they're ready to cut up. So I just sliced them into individual bones. I took that Brie juice.
Yeah, you consomme, saved all that.
I drained it into like one of those Pyrex mixing bowls, just a small bowl. And I kind of let the fat come to the top a little. And I didn't show this in the video, but I let that sit there and the fat come to the top. And I took a paper towel and just kind of skimmed it, just kind of drag it across. And that paper towel will pick up that fat. And then it's kind of separated. But if you had a fat separator, you could run it through that too and draw it off. And it would do the same thing. But once I did that, I poured it in a little bowl. And you cut those ribs up and you dab them, just jug them off in that juice a little and try them. And man, I'm telling you, those, that might have been better than any Brie that I've ever
eaten. Yeah.
It was fantastic. It was phenomenal.
It was really good.
And I hate Tyler wasn't there. You were out that week. You missed that one. That was just me and Shell.
I know. I'm sitting there watching all the footage like, really? I missed this week? And then the next two recipes y'all got coming up look really good too. I'm like,
oh, yeah. That same weekend, we did some other ones. We'll talk about those next week or whenever we release them.
But I love Brie tacos. It's like one of my favorite things. So
the rib tasted like that.
Yeah.
Like it had that flavor. And then if you dipped it in the sauce, it just took it to another level.
And
it was better than any barbecue.
I made tacos
sauce
with it. That's what I was thinking. So you could take this and eat it like ribs and it's fine.
And the rib had a perfect cook on them because you could pick up the bone and the meat would stay on it. Then you could just
take it,
slide it right off.
Yeah. It was cooked. They were cooked perfect.
They were cooked perfect.
They really were. And so I took them and just like pulled the bone out, laid that on a little grilled flour street taco shell, fresh onion, cilantro, a little salsa verde, and a little more Valentina. And you got, and then dip that in the sauce too. That'll make anybody happy.
It was really, really good. All we were missing was a margarita.
Man. And we're going to have to go get some for Cinco. They won't have those. See, now, in our Mexican restaurants, they do have ribs on the menu.
Really?
And they come, like, I think it's the super Brie. How do you say that, Tyler? Do you know that dish on the menus? Mm-mm. It's like a mocajete, except it's not in the lava bowl. It's usually just a plate, but it's a plate of everything, like chicken, steak, chorizo. And then they'll put one or two ribs in there, but they've just cooked them in the oven, it seems like. Probably the same style that I just did that I smoked.
Are you saying that they're like loin back or
it's usually a baby back rib or a long, you know, that's the typically the ones I've seen, and they're cooked to where it's just falling apart.
Yeah.
Like they really cooked them, braised them. It's not like a smoked rib like we're doing in barbecue style at all.
Yeah.
But they do have ribs, and I think they're on the, like, they're usually in the signature dish menu, like by themselves. You can get them.
You're going to have to try them. I don't know if they'd be better than those.
They're not close.
Smoked burritos.
They're nowhere close. They're okay. You know, it has that up, you know, when you cook pork in the oven?
Yes.
And it has that porkiness to it. You know, it hasn't seen any smoke, but it's tender and it's it's a good bite, but it's not the greatest flavor to me. I think there's something about it when you put it on the pit and you introduce that fire and smoke element to it. Pork rib just takes on a whole different flavor.
Like it's
oven doesn't even, or crock pot doesn't even compare. Can you cook them in it? Yeah, you can cook them, but they ain't near as good.
The Brie ribs are probably one of my favorite rib recipes. I love the spicy Greek ribs. So those two are.
Yeah. Those are two unique ones we've done.
Two really good recipes.
We found some new little Asian ribs inspired sauces at Aldi. And I'm excited. I think I might try some of those on a rib.
I think I saw those last time I was there, like kind of on an end shelf.
There's a Korean one. There's like a Korean one. And then there's a Japanese one.
They're both really, really good.
We tried. Yeah. Shell picked them up. You were there last week and brought them home. And I opened them immediately. I was like, I can try these. And they're really good.
They're as good as that one brand that we have bought and had up here before. I forgot what brand it was.
It's the one.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's a Japanese barbecue sauce. It says, I forget the name of the brand.
So
Balkans or something like that.
So you're saying that we might be getting a Asian rib?
Maybe one of these days.
I feel like that.
I've done them before. I've done an Asian expired rib before, but these would be really good.
I feel like, you know, with the Greek and the Berea, they were dry and savory and stuff. When you go more Asian flavors, it's going to be a little more wet.
Saucy. A little more general sour.
Yeah.
That's Americanized stuff, too. I mean, it's a Western influence.
Well, so yeah, that Berea ribs was up there. I would highly recommend, if you like Mexican foods,
try it.
I'd say try it. Make your margarita though.
That's right. And if you can't find that particular sauce, or you don't have a Kroger around, I really think you could soup up like an enchilada sauce or a salsa rojo or something like that. Something along those lines.
Have you seen those bombs? It looks like a bath bomb.
I have seen those. It's like a Berea seasoning all in one bath bomb.
Yeah.
What do you think that'd be like in the shower?
It's just like seasoning.
You get you smelling all cumin-y.
It'd smell good.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd get you clean.
You're hurting.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to soak in it. I don't take baths. Grown man. I take showers. But I do like sometimes if I'm feeling bad, Vicks makes one that's like mentholatum. And that's what I was thinking with this. You think you could introduce some menthol in that Berea and you just get the shower when you'd open you up,
Jack. You just be getting in there getting all hungry.
Yeah. What it is, I'm feeling tacos. Tuesday.
Well, Mount, you think it's about time to talk Primo Grills? Bring Nick on?
Yeah, let's get to it. I'm excited to learn something about Primo. So welcome, Nick. Man, we're so excited to have you in here in studio with us. We hadn't had a guest in a minute, so, man, I'm glad that you get to come out and talk Primo with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope the drive wasn't too long. You said, what, about five?
Yeah, it took about 5 hours, and it'll be about five more hours home, but, you know, it's fine. trying to do it in one day so I can get back to my daughter before she goes to bed.
Yeah, I know you're a busy man. You got a 2-year-old at home. Cool. Yeah, so that I know that keeps you busy.
It's awesome.
I wouldn't trade it for anything, right?
Yeah, I say it keeps getting better and better.
So for those of y'all that don't know, this is Nick Bauer. He's from Primo Grills. He's actually the president of Primo Grills, and y'all have been kind of in the, I would say, fireplace outdoor cooking area. That's kind of funny how those overlap, but y'all have been doing this for decades, right?
Yeah. So the core company was founded by my great grandfather in 1932. So this August 25th will be our 92nd birthday.
Wow. Coming on 100, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that is crazy. It's
been in our family. And my great grandfather came over from Germany in 1906 and had 11 kids and needed to start different businesses to employ his kids. And one of those businesses has grown into the business that I've been running now for the last 12 to 13 years or so.
So you're from Illinois, I guess you would say?
Yeah. Born and raised near where the corporate office is, where literally we've been in the same building since 1937. So my main office is where my great uncle's office was in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. So it's a, you know, the oldest building there goes back to 1863. So a lot of history.
So tell us about how Empire kind of got what their main focus is now. I know it's
So the core of Empire is we're heavy in the hearth space. So gas logs, wood stoves, fireplaces, things like that. We bought Brawlmaster gas grills in like 2000, and that got us into the outdoor cooking space because we were in the vented space heater space for 30, 40, 50 years. So, you know, if you would have went to your grandparents' house or any cabin, you see those metal boxes on the wall.
Yeah.
That was who we were. And a lot of the same dealers selling those were selling a Brawlmaster, you know, on a post, or the propane dealer was, you know, selling it for the gas loads.
That's where I've seen those, like local gas companies, when they offer appliances, they always had that in the outdoor cooking. The Brawlmaster. Yep. It was something they actually installed for you. So,
And you would pay $3 a month for the next 4 years to pay for this Brawlmaster. Yeah. So the natural gas utilities, the local gas businesses were very big on the appliance side 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
Not so much these days. They've mostly got out of it. So that's where we've got into the other side of the business, to sell to the national home builders, to sell to people like that.
Well, you know, it makes sense for me. I never really, I mean, we've been in the barbecue side of things, and we did get to go to the National Hardware Show 1 year. And I was surprised at, you know, it's not just grilling, cooking grills and pellet grills and gas grills and charcoal grills. It's more, there's a ton of fireplace stuff. So those markets really overlap.
Very much so, especially a lot of the same dealers who sell fireplaces will sell grills. If they sell a gas fireplace, they'll sell a wood stove, they'll sell a gas log. So we're trying to supply more things to the same dealer, whether it be inside the house or whether it be outside the house with Royal Mess or Primo. We want to make it easier for our dealer so they have, you know, instead of four or five manufacturers, they have one. Instead of four or five sales reps, they have one. If they if they need service, they can call one person. So these last 4 years, we have bought a last 6 years, we have bought four different businesses, Primo being one, but all selling, all in the same space, all trying to sell to the same people. We're not trying to go to Lowe's. We're not trying to do something different. You know, selling, and we're, for majority of our sales, we're a family business. Majority of our sales are to other family businesses. Which is why Primo was such a good fit. I bought it from family business. And he was made in the USA. 97% of what we sell, we make here. We're not a importer from China selling to Amazon. You know, that's just not who we are. My family has been making what we sell now for 92 years.
I'll tell you something really cool that I saw. Like on the web, you go to the website and you can watch the video. Shell, you watched it too, of how they're made. Mm-hmm. And you've got a plant. It's in Missouri, right?
Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Yeah.
Small Missouri town. Yep.
It's about 2.5 hours from the main corporate headquarters. Yeah, I love that video. I am extremely upset because that video only has like 10,000 views, and I sent it to all my friends and family. So I'm pretty sure I have like 20% of those views, and we're so proud of it. You know, it was our first ever new factory build in 2019. We finished it 4 months before we bought Primo.
Yeah.
We didn't know we're buying Primo when we designed it. So we had to tear up the floors and spend $100,000, you know, because of the timing, you never know what's going to happen. I love that
pre-COVID.
Video. It was pre-COVID. And we were lucky because when COVID hit, we had an empty factory. So where other people had to, you know, got behind, we built that for growth, mm-hmm. not knowing COVID was coming 6 months later and growth came. So I don't know if I was lucky or good or whatever you want to call it. But the timing was very interesting. Timing was also good because we had an empty factory. The day COVID hit was the last week we were producing in Georgia because a plant used to be made in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So we built up what we thought was demands, 3 month demand when we moved it. And then COVID hit and the 3 month demand turned into 3 weeks to, you know. Yeah. So then we were behind for a while during COVID. So that wasn't very fun. But you know, we eventually got caught up.
Those were tough times. I mean, we remember it going through. We didn't work for several months. I mean, people were scared to go to the office. So I know it was probably a challenge to get a factory up and running and dealing with all the stuff we had to deal with. It's amazing.
Yeah, we were considered essential manufacturing. So, and we can't work from home. So I didn't even try it. I don't believe in work from home. If other people do it, great. It doesn't work for us. But we had, at that point, we had 6 or 7 different facilities in 2 different countries and 4 different states, and they all had different rules.
And that's a nightmare.
They all changed every couple of weeks, and everyone was an expert on COVID because they went on Facebook and they read different things. So you had, it drastically helped on the demand side of our product, but the rest of it was not.
Yeah. Well, it seems like that was the first thing everybody did was buy a new grill.
Everyone, I joked that the first, the stimulus check went to savings. The second stimulus check, the wife used it. The third stimulus check, the husband got a better grill.
Yeah.
And we saw that demand, and it was, and no one could plan for it.
No.
And then it crashed just as quick as it came, and no one could plan for that. And there's great brands out there that didn't make it through the crash, and there's gonna be more coming. It's, you think about, like, what, we're 4 years into this?
Yeah.
And what has happened in 4 years?
It's incredible, man. But from our standpoint, people they switch from being able to go eat out to cooking at home. And so I think that helped when everybody's buying new grills and they're really watching videos on how to cook stuff. And we're still seeing a lot of that. I mean, I know probably the demand on grills has probably slowed down because everybody bought new stuff. And that's one thing with this Primo grill. And that Broilmaster, those are grills, when you buy them, you're going to get 10, 20, 30 years out of one of them, man. So,
I joke, like the traditional Broilmasters cast aluminum head, and it lasts for 30, 40 years. You have no repeat business. at all. I mean, that gets passed down to the next generation.
Yeah.
So you're not like, we're like, your Apple phone's intentionally going to die in 3 or 4 years.
I respect that. Yeah. I respect somebody that's making a product that's quality made like that, that's going to last. Absolutely. Because you're depending on word of mouth when people come over and they see you cooking on these and they want to get one for their house or they want to buy your accessories. There's way more to it than just buying a new grill every year.
Yeah. The word of mouth is what sells these, quite frankly, grills.
Yeah. So how did y'all identify Primo as being a brand or a type of grill that y'all wanted to get in that ceramic realm?
Yeah, so that's a great question and a great story. So I started in 07, and I didn't know anything about anything with the business, so I just started traveling with the sales reps and going to open houses and dealer events, and you spend enough 3 or 4 nights in New York or Texas or trade shows, and you start seeing the same faces, and especially if you like enjoy having drinks like I do, you start seeing the same faces at the bar. And the founder of Primo is an incredible story. His name's George. He's from Greece. He's a pharmacist by trade. His dad's a pharmacist. His brother's a pharmacist. He went to pharmacy school, did not want to be a pharmacist, was a charter captain. An American family came over. He was their captain. He ended up starting a relationship with a daughter.
Yeah.
It moved to the U.S., left everything in Greece, moved to the U.S. His father-in-law, a guy named Duke, amazing guy, had a bigger egg. And for Thanksgiving, they had a turkey. He loved it. So he took a bigger egg back to Greece, and he sold it to a buddy. Then he took 3 or 4. So he reached out to bigger egg. He goes, hey, can I be your Greece, you know, seller of these products? They told him no. And if you meet George, he's more stubborn than my wife. Let's leave it at that. And he, you know, a pharmacist by trade, decided he wanted to get into ceramics manufacturing in Georgia.
He just loved the grill.
He just loved the grill, and someone, quite frankly, kind of pissed him off.
Yeah.
That was the spark that he needed, and he started from nothing, and I think he was on the third plant in Georgia when we took it over. But, you know, starting a small probably shack somewhere and then actually get somewhere of a factory and then get a nicer factory.
Yeah.
And that was just his story. He has one daughter but wasn't interested in the business. And him and I talked for 4, 5, 6 years until we could kind of find, you know, it's always easy to talk. It's always hard to get to an agreement and a number. And a pretty funny story. So when we first started talking, you know, 2014, 2015, I think, is when the first offer happened, and we bought in 2019. I got a Primo, and I've always been a Barometric gas grill guy. We bought that in like early 2000s. And for 5 years at my house, I never personally cooked on it because I was afraid of the ceramic, how to start it, what do I do? We had our biggest trade show the week when COVID hit in 2020 down in New Orleans. And, you know, we get back from the trade show and our factory, people don't even like, they don't even let us come in the front door. Like, hey, you got to stay home for 2 weeks. So I'm stuck at home 2 weeks, and we had just bought the company 4 or 5 months prior. And I'm like, well, if this isn't the time to learn how to use this thing, it's now. Yeah. And I'm the typical gas grill guy who's afraid to use a ceramic. How do you light the charcoal? How do you control temperatures? What do? I am that guy. And if I can learn how to do it, anyone can learn how to do it, because I am not a slow cook expert. Like, people always send me Facebook messages, how do you do this? I go, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to get through the day these days with a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
But if I can learn how to use it, anyone can learn how to use it.
Well, what really immediately drew me to Primo when I started noticing was their design. I mean, I've got a big green egg at home, but I hadn't cooked on it in a while. But that oval design was so unique. And it gives you like a more cooking space, and it's easier for me to do a 2-zone fire in that to get that separation. I mean, I just think it's a great design grill. So
absolutely.
You know, I mean, I see why you would want to associate with that brand or think that you could take it to the next level.
Yeah.
If you're already in that industry.
It was just a really good fit. You know, to me, life's all about relationships. Like George and I, in fact, if you go to our website, we went to his house in Greece last May. And we did, I called it the founder series. And I, you know, we cooked with some local chefs and I asked some questions and stories. So kind of like the handoff between him and I. But the product has to win. Like, you can't just buy something because you like the guy.
Yeah.
The USA made manufacturing, that's who we are. He had about, we sold about 80 to 90% of the same customers. So the U.S. wholesalers, like, are people that are buying my other stuff. So that really worked from kind of that standpoint. And the oval, it's different. Like, and my dad asked me this question. He goes, hey, for this amount of money, can't we just go import a grill from China and just call it a Brawlmaster? I'm like, yeah, we could, but I can't promise you that we're going to be successful. Like, anyone, you know how many Chinese brands are out there?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Anyone, if you can order one or five or 10 at a time, you can put your own brand on it.
Oh, that's what I've been approached to do my own. I was like,
it happens all the time. Yeah. And, but it's about that brand story and what's different. Like, what's your moat? And the USA made and the Oval are our moats. And we have a patent on it, but doesn't mean you can't try to knock it off because people don't respect patents in the world anymore. But it's a pain in the butt to make. Like, it's not easy to make an oval ceramic. Like, the waste, the yield is not what a round is.
Yeah.
So that was the features that were attractive. There's something else that you can sell because everyone knows the big brands that are out there. And I firmly believe if people know about Primo, we win a high percentage of that business. Mm-hmm. But I think 90% of people, when they buy a ceramic, they don't even know a Primo. So that's kind of what we've been focusing on now post-COVID, because during COVID, you can't build enough to sell. But now it's like, how do you get that brand out there? How do you make people aware? And that's what I really been focused on these last, 18 months.
That's good, though. I mean, you're still learning to cook. Do you feel like you mastered it? Like, I'm confident. Like,
I've reached my peak. I'm not going to be doing a 24-hour brisket because that's just not my thing. I would consider myself an expert on rotisserie chicken wings.
Yeah, there you go.
That is my go-to. I cook them every time. They're absolutely delicious.
The chicken wing is one of my favorite. That's my favorite part of the chicken to eat. I mean, I love it, but I love cooking wings. And
we haven't done that recipe.
I haven't done the rotisserie.
Rotisserie at about 400 to 450 takes about two beers. You don't have to watch it. You can go. I joke that the only kind of yard work I do is when I'm cooking on the Primo and having a couple of drinks because it gives me energy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go inside because I know what's inside my family. So I want to stay outside. Pulling weeds and just acting like I'm cooking when in reality you're spinning wings. You don't need to do anything at all.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of accessories for them too. That's the cool thing.
So that's what we did. So when we shared so many customers. So the due diligence was, hey, well, what do you think of Primo? Well, we love it. We love the Oval. We love USA, but they've been a little behind on accessories and they're a little behind on like their hinge and their chimney. So we had a list of like five or seven things that we just needed to do. They're all, Primo was a small company. There wasn't any engineers, they didn't quite have like this like team that we have from a marketing and engineering standpoint that we can just roll this product in. So we came up with a list and we six, seven, eight things and we knocked them out in about 18 months. And now, with the rotisserie, the pizza oven, a new chimney, a new hinge, a griddle, and all these different, things like that. Stuff that, quite frankly, he should have did years prior.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen. And then it's like, all right, well, we knocked out all those six, seven things. So what are we doing now? And that's when we moved into this bigger size. And the first new model in 15 years or something that he's done a while.
We're talking about the XXL.
Yeah.
And it's
XXL.
And it's like that's what you want to see. And, when you talk to people that grill all the time or cook, that they're going to ask you, I guarantee it, when are you going to make the next bigger one? When's the bigger one coming? Everybody wants that bigger grill.
Yeah. So the junior is 200 square inches. The large is 300. The XL is 400. This is 500. But 60, 65% of our sales are in the 400 square inches.
Mm-hmm.
So and we've done, and we got almost done with a mini mobile one, like 80, 90 pounds, 95 pounds. So you can take camping, whatnot.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, it's like, well, which one we're going to bring to market first? We go, well, the sales are in the bigger one. We should probably go bigger first.
Yeah, bigger first. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. Well, there's also, I think you've got accessory shelves that give you more than that standard square inch cooking, That's one thing I like about them too.
Yeah, because the extension racks you can go above and whatnot. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a big birthday coming up. I don't want to say the number because it's depressing. But we're going to have a lot of people to the house because that's my wife asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I just want to have all friends and family to the house. So we're going to have I've asked for some help. Just we'll have that thing going, and we'll have a couple of them going. We'll have the Brawlmaster going, and we're going to try to feed 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 people for 12 hours.
So which grill do you have at home? What's Nick cook on?
I have a Junior Primo. I have an XL Primo, and I have a four burner Brawlmaster
grill. Yeah. So you've got an outdoor setup, man. Yeah.
Yeah. They get used sporadically depending on what we're doing. But more so, you know, the Primo for me personally, because our weeks are pretty hectic with having a 2-year-old. It is, my wife's from Argentina, and she goes back a couple times a year. And I always make sure when she goes back, I have a weekend by myself. And then the boys will come over on Saturday. We'll start the Primo about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, and we'll cook lunch, and we'll throw the last food on probably 11, 12 o'clock at night, and that thing goes all day. And what's nice about it is if you don't use it for a couple hours, that's fine. You can come back to it and throw some stuff on, or you go, you know, it's to me that's the social side.
Yeah.
And the grills are less than 10% of our overall sales, but it's 90% of our consumer feedback. It's 90% of our, you know, marketing plan. Mm-hmm. It's because it's that sharing that experience with friends and family. You know, a wood stoves kind of do that a little bit, but no one cares about the gas log or fireplace. Everyone cares about their grill.
Yeah, everybody wants to talk about what grill they have and, brag about it.
The ideas and, you know, I got 24 hours on one bag of charcoal and
I was fixing to tell you, my latest experience, man, I've been playing around with the overnight pork butt. I wanted to see. So my test was I could put charcoal in this pit. I can start it. I can choke the vents back. How long will it run? Is it going to run long enough to cook a pork butt? Well, I lit the grill at 7 p.m. I put a pretty good bit of charcoal in there, only on one side, and lit it, just a small little fire in it. Put my butt on about 8:30, and I kept checking on it a few times through the night. Then I was just like, forget it. I'm going to pretend like it's not even going and see what it does. I got up the next morning about 6, went out there. My pork butt was done. I mean, it was smooth right where I wanted it. I took it off, wrapped it up, and I said, all right, instead of stopping this grill, I'm going to let it go. Well, Rochelle showed up down there probably about 5 p.m. and she's like, what's cooking? And I said, I just got the Primo going to see how long it'll go. It went 22 hours. I was going to cook some dinner that night on it. And so I went out and checked it. I took the grate out, took the little diverter plate out. I still had coals at 22 hours. I just raked them around a little bit with the little tool, added a little bit more coals, and got that grill right back up. And I cooked chicken on that, and it was still going at midnight. Yep. And so, I mean, this is a grill that you can cook a long time on a very small amount of coal, really. I didn't even burn a whole bag.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of ceramics, how it just holds in the heat and the moisture.
Yes.
But I remember, so my family lives in Florida, so I drive them back and forth between Florida once or twice a year. And George, the founder, lives in Atlanta, so I would always stop there and have dinner at his house, and that's when I really tasted the moisture of the chicken for the first time. Like, I thought there was something wrong with it. I'm not kidding. You're used to drier chicken, and you get moist chicken. You think it's not cooked.
Yeah,
I remember telling him it wasn't cooked, and he's like, you know, and this is a funny story, because this is how George and I go back, and that's why I used to travel with my dog, and he had a dog, and, you know, we're having dinner outside, and his dog's barking at him to get food, and my dog's wondering why his dog's barking, and like, I love that story, and George is telling his dog to shut up, and then throwing food at him.
That sounds like our house.
Yeah.
We've always got a dog.
But that was the first time I ever really tasted it, was at his house. It was great.
So you got everybody in your family with Primo, cooking on Primo too then?
My sister has one. My dad doesn't really cook much. And then my mom has one in the Keys. My mom lives in Florida Keys, which she lives on the water. And if you know anything about Florida and
oxidation and rust. And rust. how does it hold up?
That's a good question. It got his butt kicked.
Really?
Which is why we're doing a marine grade band kit this summer.
So you could put it on a boat if you want to, or have it at your beach house, or
So this is I don't even think I'm probably my marketing guy's probably gonna get mad about me talking about this right now, but I'm actually gonna test the first one here. I have an outdoor kitchen being installed down in Florida here in a couple weeks, and I'm gonna really do the first life cycle real world testing. But yeah, you need something. So just like Brawlmaster has a marine grade model for Florida, like we do a lot of business in Florida. And I believe we're going to be the first marine grade Kamado kind of band kit. maybe just because I want one from my house in Florida. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's coming this summer.
Well, I've seen some of them on charter fishing boats, some ceramic grills, and I don't know how long they've been there, but they look like they've been there for years because they're all rusted.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be surprised how fast that spray out of the ocean.
It's just months. It's not years.
Yeah, it does it. It'll do it that fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it, I mean, so I would hate to think I bought one that much and then it's going to rust like that if you don't have something to.
My mom's is literally on the beach in the Keys, so the ceramics are fine. And you can still use it. Just be careful when you're lifting it.
Yeah.
But we're, you know, we're the small guy. We're not the market leader. We got to come up with different, unique stuff. We can't try to sell the same stuff that everyone's is selling. And if the marine grade gets us a 2% more people to pay attention to us, with 2% more than we had, you know, the week before. So we come up with different things and try different things. So
well, I love the outdoor kitchen aspect of it too, because y'all have got some cool stuff going on, and you can buy. I mean, of course, you got carts that you can that you can buy them in the cart configuration, but you can buy just the grill and have a contractor build it into your own. Y'all have got set cabinets made for it.
I mean, yeah, the outdoor kitchen I'm doing. In Florida, it has a Broilmaster gas and a Primo charcoal. And that was kind of the vision, too, when we did Primo 4 or 5 years ago. Is there's a lot of gas grill businesses out there, and there's a couple of ceramic grills businesses out there, but they're all different manufacturers. There's different vendors. Mm-hmm. So being able to offer that outdoor kitchen guy, you know, one point of contact. And we have the doors, we have the drawers. We just added a Broilmaster griddle. We're going to have, you know, the fridges and stuff like that. So offer it one solution as opposed to having to deal with multiple different, you know, manufacturers or vendors. Because if something goes wrong, you know, no one ever cares until something goes wrong. And you got to call a different guy for this thing. You got to call a different guy for this thing. You know, that's the server side. And that's what we try to separate ourselves.
Well, going back to the production of a ceramic grill, can you talk a little bit, just give us a little insight on what it actually takes? I know. You can go watch the video if y'all are listening.
That's
y'all
an impressive video too.
Yeah,
it's
shows you. It shows you some of it.
Yeah,
the video is awesome. But you basically have to get the slurry, the mixture. We pump the mixture to what it's a robot now that makes the molds. Mm-hmm. So a human doesn't really touch it until the robot takes it out of the molds. And the video does a great job of showing the robot moving around. But then then it goes into drying. I want to say, is drying 30 hours? So this is difference about how ceramic manufacturing is different than our normal manufacturing. Like a fireplace, we know it takes 4 hours. It's the same time every day, you know, whereas, and you can time everything out where Primo, one thing takes 30 hours, one thing takes 12 hours, yeah. One thing takes, you know, so it's like everyone asks, well, how long does it take to make a Primo? I go, about a week and a half. Like, we can't say an exact number. So about 30 hours in the dryer, then you go to spray. Spray is relatively quick. And then the kiln, I think the kiln's 12 hours or 14 hours.
What temperature are y'all kiln?
1600 maybe? 1400?
It's tempered, yeah.
I forget exactly. And then it comes out and then boxed. So it's kind of, it's not like you're doing the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Where like you make a wood stove, you're doing the same exact thing every day. It's, you know, this is my, you know, maybe my stupidity or my confidence, who knows. We're like, yeah, we can make ceramic manufacturing. Yeah. You know, we know manufacturing. Well, you know, all manufacturing is different. So we basically have like a plant inside a plant, because you also, it's dirty. Ceramics are dirty. You don't want to have ceramics in your fireplace when you get it. So we had to build literally a wall inside of the plant. So it's like
to separate the two.
Separate. So yeah. Two different worlds. So sometimes the Primo guys don't want to shift to the fireplace guys. You know, guys, you know, you work for the same company. It's because you're on one side of the wall or the other, you know, the demand goes up and down. Manufacturing, you want to shift labor. So it was a little bit, you know, guys, you know, you work for the parent, not the brand.
Yeah. So how many can you make? Like, what's the production capacity?
Hundreds a week.
Yeah, you can. Wow.
If, per shift.
Yeah.
If you want to do more, you can do more than that. There's plenty of capacity there.
Are y'all shipping them all over the world now? I mean, primarily U.S.?
Yeah, that was my biggest surprise, is how much international business Primo has. You know, distributors in U.K., Belgium, Australia, and pretty much 15, 16 kind of international distributors.
A lot of that was already like in place before you got it.
You know, So Primo was always a sponsor of the Jack Daniels.
That's probably one of the first places I really saw them, because y'all provided them for the international teams that came.
And I'm pretty sure that is how they got so much international business, is those teams and then went back and told the people. Name got there and this yeah. and that. Yeah, that was all set up before. You know, I always wanted to do international business when I was in college. I was mm-hmm. actually was about ready to go to Europe out of college, and then stuff happened in the family and I had to join the family business. And now with Primo 14 years later, I went to Australia last year for Primo. I went to Greece last year for Primo. I went to Belgium. Now I get to kind of do what my dream was.
You get to do the fun stuff. I get to do the fun like. Stuff.
Yeah. You know, get to do stuff like this. Like yeah. no one's asked me on a podcast to talk about a gas log. let's be honest here.
That's an untapped market. Yeah. We need to start a gas log podcast.
Yeah, there's going to be a Facebook group of three members of gas log. So you know, it took 15 years, but now I get to kind of do my dream of what I wanted to do.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome though. But just getting to go those places, man, I can't.
It's fun, I bring my family when I can, which makes it
yeah.
even better and even harder sometimes. But we're going to Italy next week for my birthday kind of birthday trip. My wife went to college in Milan, so she speaks mm-hmm. Italian. So I have a tour guide, I have a translator, I have a driver. I'm just going to be a pastor yeah. princess and drink wine all day.
Hey, that doesn't sound like a bad plan. Yeah.
But there's a Primo guy like an hour from where we're going to be. So we're going to go see him for a night.
All of a sudden you've got a little work.
And I guess the
spits.
Exactly. And I guess the weekend we're there is like the Italian national barbecue cook off or something. It's like 2 hours really? Away.
That's cool. Interesting.
I haven't asked my wife if she'll drive me there yet. Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna risk that. But it's like, yeah, there's I can pretty much find someone has something to do with Primo wherever I go.
Yeah. That's really cool. I know when I saw those guys, like some of those international guys were torturing those Primos at the Jack. I said, like one year we were there, it was freezing cold. I mean, temperatures dropped and they just had the lid open and just built a bonfire in it. I said, I don't know if the Primo would recommend doing that right there. Man, they held up.
They do.
But they do some fantastic cooking on them at the Jack. So what's it like? I guess they were already making that model, the Jack Daniels model. That's the only other one that I know that you guys have branded different than Primo. Yeah. It's like a Jack Daniels edition, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a Jack Daniels special edition. So the Jack Daniels logo is actually in the ceramic. So
it's made into it.
Yeah, as opposed to, which it means we got to fire it twice. And it's actually, from a manufacturing standpoint, a complete pain in the butt. But that relationship was prior to us, and we have maintained that relationship.
That's a good one, man. Yeah. They do a great job. They've always been Jack Daniels has been supportive of the barbecue community mm-hmm. for years. It's one of the most prestigious contests to get to go to. Have you ever got a chance?
I haven't
to go?
Personally went. There's just been things that have happened those weekends. Primo always goes.
Yeah.
We always have a booth. If anyone's going this October, come say hi to us. We'll be cooking. We'll have merch to give away. The guys will be there. Yeah, they always have a good time that weekend. One of these times, I'm going to make it.
I've heard it's a pretty good place to get a deal on a grill. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
They do. Yeah.
A lot of times, they don't like taking those back.
They don't like to take those back. Absolutely not.
I don't know if you could ship it overseas from there, but no. they're really cool grills. I just always saw that black Jack Daniels ceramic grill, and I was like, man, that is so cool.
I always thought it was cool, too.
Let's just be honest. The black is just a nicer color.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, like it.
We get about, I don't know, 1% or 2% feedback we get on our sales is, yeah, my wife said no on green. So mm-hmm. I had to get a different color.
Well, I mean, I get it. So I from having it. The green, it gets smudged up. It shows all the dirt on it. I mean, you know, you get the Primo just still looks brand new sitting there.
Absolutely.
Have you named your Primo yet, by the way?
No, I haven't.
He normally names
I need to start thinking about that. Really, I do. That's a good thing. What can we name the Primo? It's got to be a Greek-influenced name. It's got to be. That was one of the first things I cooked on it. I did some Greek-style ribs here recently. Man,
I saw that.
They were fantastic.
They looked delicious.
Yeah, char-grilled them at the end. It got me to thinking of different possibilities on cooking ribs like that. So I've got to work on a recipe where I'm just going to grill them the whole time on a Primo.
Yeah, you know, I never even thought of the char grill that you did.
It puts so much flavor on it, and it's like you really taste the meat.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times we cook ribs competition style, and they're overly sweet. They're super tender. They're great ribs, but you don't get the flavor of that grill on them and getting to char grill them. I think it's just a whole different flavor of a rib, different way to eat pork.
They look great. Yeah. I think I watched that right before lunch, and I'm all right.
I've done multiple. I mean, I've done the rack of lamb on there was fantastic. I mean, I haven't cooked anything bad on it yet, and it's been really fun. I'm glad I got the opportunity to start cooking on them.
Lamb is one of my favorite things, and I don't know why we haven't done this yet. I've just forgotten. I got into during COVID the salt blocks.
I've cooked steak on one before.
But for Lent, for like scallops or fish on a Friday during Lent, I've actually poured too much olive oil in it one time and the salt block opened it up about burnt myself.
Oh,
but
man.
Be careful when you do with scallops or not. But scallops coming off a salt block on a ceramic I don't understand why they're so much better.
So do you go directly, the salt block directly on the cooking grate over the coals, no diverter?
Yeah, maybe I should use a diverter.
What temp are you running it when you do that?
Three or four drinks.
Yeah, whatever it takes. whatever it takes.
I don't pay attention to stuff style, like man. That. I just, especially this was when I was just getting into it, when COVID happened, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. It was like, all right, we'll try it. And all right, I know don't use so much olive oil because it bakes into a bomb when you open it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've like never burped. And everyone's like, hey, you just need to burp it. I go, yeah, I know. I just never do it.
It's you'll lose a bunch of arm hair and you'll start burping, I promise. Because
I still haven't learned my lesson.
When you cook hot on that thing, because they will get hot. Well, I mean, so the versatility of them, it's more than a smoker. Then we've already touched on some of the accessories and things that you have, but when you buy one of these grills, you've got something outside that you can cook just about anything on. I mean, you can bake pizzas on it. Of course, you can cook low and slow. You can grill anything you want to grill on it, but it does a lot. You got the rotisserie.
Yeah, pizzas are awesome. I've actually don't slow cook on my grill personally. I use it just as a high temp grill. I use 400 to 500. That's just what I do. That's more of what I eat. The pizzas are great. We have a thing called Fredstone over Europe with a specialized pizza stone. I don't understand why it's so much better than just a ceramic stone, but and they won't tell us what they make out of it coming out. I think it's Belgium or somewhere. But if you go to Fredstone, thefredstone.com, it's another product we sell. It's incredible for pizzas.
I haven't heard of that.
It makes either. Someone like me who's not good at doing stuff actually can have a crisp.
Yeah. Stuff. Really? So you're making that?
We sell Fredstone through our dealers, and we have a consumer direct website, thefredstone.com. And we have it special. So we have ovals for the Primo. So and we have round ones as well for any grill. But it really, my wife actually mentioned last week, we need to do pizza sometime. I haven't done one for a couple of years, so we need to get back into that. Now my daughter is old enough to ask for pizza. So yeah. I need to start making her some pizza.
That's something that I haven't done on it yet. But
making you a list of stuff. I want rotisserie wings and some pizza.
So what are you seasoning your rotisserie wings with? Do you have special stuff?
Yeah,
you
use? So I have a tremendous amount of seasoning at my house. What I do is I make the wings, obviously, unsalted butter, duck fat spray is to me is the key. And then I take them off the grill. And then if I have four or five buddies over, we each get a bowl and we each season them different, and then we just share. So we kind of make it a social thing, because I like spicy. Some people don't. My wife doesn't at all, so she'd never eat any of my wings. You kind of make it a social thing. Hey, here's your bowl, here's your bowl, here's your bowl. And one of my buddies, and I had never thought about this, but he made his with peach. Like, little Franks and some peach. Mm-hmm. And it was the sweetness with the spice was like, I would never have thought about doing that if I didn't give him a bowl and tell him to make it himself. And Primo actually has a peach rub, and I had never even I had two in my house. I never even used it because I never thought
you're gonna use that with
what I use it for. I'm not making dessert, so it's just I just like to do different things every time.
And that's what's fun about it. I mean, with cooking, you can go so many different directions with it and come up with your own stuff. You don't have to follow recipes every time, or you can get ideas from other people and make it your own.
Absolutely. These days, I see what I only have a little bit left. To use it to throw it away because I have way too much stuff.
We did. So I end up, people send me stuff. Yes, I buy new stuff to try. So I'm like you. I've got a ton of stuff at home. And then once a year, Shell likes to clean out the clean out my seasoning cabinet.
It's about getting that time.
Yeah, it is getting that time. But this is a great time to do it. So what we'll do, we'll make like a Frankenstein seasoning. We'll just take bits of this one, whatever's in this one, make it one. Sometimes it turns out good. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to throw that away. It ain't good. But it's fun to me to experiment and try different stuff. You never know what you're going to come up
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. And there's so many great sauces out there, because I have a bunch of people send me stuff too. And it's like, wow, I really like this. Wow, I really like this. Wow, I really like this. And there's so many great sauces out there and spices and rubs. And it's just fun to do different things.
So how's the feedback been from kind of the grilling community on y'all's acquisition when you took over Primo? Are you seeing customer base growing? You're reaching new people? Are they giving you positive results from the company?
That's a great question. And you know, social media, everyone has an opinion. And I they announced it, and you know, you're always going to have they're getting bought by another company, they're going to go to hell, yada, yada, yada. And I screenshotted all that stuff, because it's hard for me not to take things personal. I'm getting better now, 17 years in, than I was 8 years in or 12 years into this, in my career. But, I think all the people who said that we're going to sell it or destroy it or this and that, or those that obviously hasn't happened. We've grown it, we've added, you're seeing more marketing, see more in this. So from that standpoint, yes, very, very positive. You're occasionally going to get like 3 months ago, they buy companies and just sell them, so we're going to sell them here shortly. And I'm like, really? Well, that's one last thing we sold, because I'm pretty aware of my business, and we've never sold anything ever.
You're not into selling business. Yeah.
We don't sell things. I go, really? Tell me the last thing Empire sold. And, he obviously didn't respond. So you're still going to have the comments out there. And I try not to take them personal, but I'm so bad. And
yeah.
So I built a Facebook. So I am Primo Nick on Facebook, because I was doing this with my personal Facebook, which I don't know if I want to have people seeing photos of me in college.
Yeah.
So I had to build a personal Facebook and a business Facebook and business Instagram. So I'm Primo Nick. So my wife will tell you I'm too active on the social medias, because it's kind of, I don't watch much news.
Yeah.
And my sports team suck. Cardinals and Blues, St. Louis suck. So, I'll be on the social media just, I'm on all the Big Green Egg, Kamado Joe, all the different pellet brands. So I spend way too much of my time on those message boards. But I will, we had a guy last night ask a warranty question, and, I'll answer that and try to help where I can.
That's awesome, though, man. So you've kind of immersed yourself into the grilling side of things, where you probably wouldn't have done that if you didn't buy the grill company.
Yeah, the community is awesome. I'll call them ambassadors or friends of Primo, are really our best salespeople.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are like, it's my job to, and our sales rep's job to get the product on the dealer's showroom. But I would say our friends of Primo, the ones that are selling it for us, but we got to have the product there so you can actually go in and see it. And that's, so I consider my customer that dealer, not necessarily the consumer, because we don't sell consumer direct, because we want to support our family businesses dealers. So I got to add as many dealers as possible. That's really who I'm really trying to attract. And then it's for our ambassadors of Primo that really help us sell the brands to consumers.
I thought that was pretty cool that y'all's distribution system, it's a little different. It's like you said, you sell to a dealer, a family network of dealers, and that's how the consumer goes and gets it. It's not like you're.
Yeah, we don't sell. I actually had someone mention on this week that they saw Primo at Costco, and I actually didn't respond to that one.
You knew that wasn't right.
Well, I think my baby was crying or something. No, we sell to family, we sell to family businesses. Are we going to sell the most units by not selling to Lowe's and Home Depot and Amazon and Ace? No, we're not going to move the most units through small family businesses. Mm-hmm. But that's who we are. That's, if business turns into me importing product from China and selling to the big box, I'll go do something else.
Yeah.
That's not an industry I want to be a part of. And I got actually an offer this week for a barbecue brand that's for sale that does that. It has 4 employees in the U.S., does $20 million in sales and only support 4
jobs. Yeah, 4 U.S. jobs.
Import from China and they sell to Amazon, and that's just. And literally, I looked at that financials yesterday. That's just. I'm sure they're going to make a lot of money on that business, and you know the brand. That's just not what I want to do.
That's right. I get. I mean, your family has a core philosophy, yeah. And it's always been about U.S. made, U.S. jobs, U.S. families.
Absolutely.
So that's, I mean, that's a
we have to say important. We have
yeah,
to say
important.
North American base because we have a factory up in Vancouver mm-hmm. and two in Quebec City. So if I say U.S. made, the people up in Quebec City get a little worried.
Yeah, so it's North American made.
Now we say North American made.
Yeah.
But yes.
I did see that Primo is at Jeep Beach in Daytona. What was that, a week or two?
We were, yes.
Yeah. Were you there?
I was not there. That's actually close to where my sister lives.
What was that? So, yeah. So what's that event all about?
So, you know, we, I think we all have crazy sales reps and crazy sales reps come up with ideas. And I remember I got like a 15 text message string from him and, you know, Toby.
Yeah.
And we need to partner with Jeep and this and that. I'm like, all right, brother, if you want to do all the work, we'll try it. Like, we'll try anything. Mm-hmm. So if there's any dealers out there or any organizations out there that want to partner with Primo, reach out. Like, we'll have a conversation. We'll try it. You know, we'll see if it works. If it's great, we'll keep doing it. If it doesn't, we'll try something different. Or we want to partner with anyone who's willing to partner that wants to grow your brand and our brand. And it looked like a tremendous amount of fun. The feedback was overly positive. You know, you learn each time. So the location, I think, they want to have better location next year. But I think Primo does well with the Jeep crowd. You know, you look at the demographics of someone who's buying a Jeep. Look at the demographics of someone who's buying a Primo. They match up pretty well.
Yeah. I could see that. Well, I mean, especially with like a smaller portable unit, like you were talking about, maybe developed or you may have one already. But if you're going out camping or you're going on a Jeep trail ride or, you know, those guys are fanatics about getting together and going off somewhere in the mountains and riding and all that. And they're going to have something to cook on. So yeah, that kind of makes sense.
The smaller one will have a tailgate accessories to hook up right in the back of it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll probably do that in a year or two.
Any other events that Primo has coming up?
Yeah. So pretty fun one coming up here. Let me get the notes. May 17th and 18th. It's the Georgia Mountain Fire and Smoke Festival, which used to be one of the larger, bigger egg festivals. So we were invited to participate this year. So we're pretty excited about. Are there any other bigger egg festivals that want to invite us? We would love to
love
come.
To go.
And I can't make this one personally because I'll be out of town for my birthday. But if you have one that when we come, I'll do my best to come. Yeah. So, just a guy who reached out and, you know, he didn't feel he was getting the support from the other brand. And, you know, we're going to try to support him as we can. So looking forward to being a part of that one, because I think it's a pretty big one.
So you can go out, you can see the grills in action. You can probably taste some food. Most of the time,
we always cook.
Yeah,
we
cook a ton of food.
Yeah, we don't, you know, some of the bigger brands don't let you eat off what they cook because of liability purposes. Hopefully my lawyer's not listening to this, but we're not listening to my, you know, what he doesn't know doesn't hurt him.
Giving it out, man. It's not like you're selling the food. It's a giveaway. So
absolutely. I mean, I remember coming down here from Memphis in May.
Yeah.
One of my best friends went to college in Memphis. And he was a couple years after us because he was a slow starter on the college thing. And we drove down here and we're still excited to go to Memphis in May. And we get there and we couldn't even taste anything. We're like, what the heck is this?
It's a big misconception that it's just a, you know, a barbecue eating festival.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know somebody, I mean, they've got some vendors and stuff, but it's not the same food that all the teams are cooking.
So. No, it's so we maybe stayed 20 minutes. We're like, well, we drove down here. I mean, we drove down to hang out with my buddy, you know.
Yeah.
We did just fine that weekend. But yeah, it's like, what do you mean you can't? Well, you know, we're not really allowed to serve this. I go, oh, yeah. Well, that's not us. We'll serve you.
Yeah.
We're
cooking. Right. That's right. That's kind of the way we were. People come to our booth and we've got food. It's just a free for all.
Yeah.
We set it out, let people get it. And it's kind of, you know, who you know or who you meet at Memphis at an event like that.
I'm sure.
But it's, you know, that's more competition. Like, I know you guys probably do more festival style to where it is a lot of public attending and, you know, they want to see the grills. They want to taste the food. They want to support you and all that. So
how many competitions are you still doing these days?
I don't get to do as many as I used to. You know, there was a time where we were cooking, you know, 20, 25 a year, and it was a lot.
That's a
but
lot
with
of
the, it's kind of like, you know, I'm pulled all different directions, you know, probably not as busy as you, but we've got so much going on. So what we did, we started our ambassador program to where we try to help support other teams that are out cooking in all different regions. And so that's kind of how we're reaching and still supporting competition without me actually being out there cooking at them. I mean, I've got to judge a few this year. I actually got to go judge the World Squirrel Championship Squirrel Cook-Off. You know,
cooking squirrel?
Yes, that was a wild event, man.
Really?
And it was amazing. There were some
Where's
guys,
that? It's Springdale, Arkansas.
Close to Bentonville or right in that area. But it was, that was an eye-opening experience, and I'm looking forward to going back this year.
That's an interesting
and
one.
So I've kind of been into the wild game stuff too, but I went last year when I met you for the first time. We were up in Collinsville at the big barbecue there, and that was, you know, that's always a cool event. So there's Spoken always some me. I'll be in your area. I'll be in Murfreesboro here in the fall. That's a big contest. If you've never been to that one, it's not too far from me. That's a cool one to check out.
So every other year, well, we're skipping it this year, but we did the last 2 years. We'll do it next year. We do a Primo Bash thing. So last year we had a $25,000 purse at, we had a comp at the factory. And Primo Bash is, we're not doing it every year because Papa Bluff, Missouri is not as easy to get to. But we pick a weekend, and if you want to come see the factory, if you're a Primo owner and you want to drive in, we did it August, September last year, September. And then just so you can come personally see the factory tour. And we pair it with a barbecue comp or a music festival or something, just try to attract people. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, middle Missouri is not, you know, so we're not doing it this year. But we'll do it every other year. So if you're interested in coming to the factory, anyone who's listening out there, look our social media about 12 months from now, probably about 9 months from now, we'll be announcing dates and whatnot.
So in 2025, you can probably hope to see that.
Yeah. Or if you ever just randomly driving by Papa Bluff and want to stop in, just send me a message on Facebook at Primo Nick, or I'm on Instagram at Empire Group Nick, and I can get you set up with the plant manager and whatnot, and you just come say hi.
Do y'all get a lot of people that like want to come see the production?
Probably going to be more now that I mentioned it.
You might have to rethink that and start doing daily tours.
We get some. But that's the passion. Like, you know, if we, you know, take a couple minutes out of our day to show someone the factory, that person's going to tell our story.
And remember that.
So much more than if I pay for Google AdWords or if I, whatever type of advertisement that costs a lot of money. Like, that personal experience is going to, is you can't put a cost on it.
So what's your long-term goals for Primo Grills? Have y'all, I know you've thought about it. Well, I mean, where would you like to see this brand and this style of grill go?
So we're a fourth generation family business. We're always take the long view. And when I looked at the ceramic market 5 years ago, Kamado Joe had sold already. I knew they were going to sell again, which they did. Now they're with a publicly traded company. And the founder of Bigger Egg is getting up there. And I don't believe he has kids that are in the business. So something's going to happen to that business. So I didn't know if it was going to be in 5 years from now or 15 years from now. But I think in the future, for the mom and pop dealer, the dealer that we care about, not the big box dealer, that Bigger Egg does really well in now, that I want to be that top brand. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily want to sell the most units, but, you know, the platinum dealer out there that, you know, very rarely when a business sells, does a new ownership take the same viewpoint as the previous ownership, especially if you sell to a short-term holder or a publicly traded company.
They're about the dollars. They want it to be profitable quick.
They have to turn it, and you don't make a profit until you sell. Like, you know, we have a fairly large family business that to me is worth $0 because we're never going to sell. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you never... My sister and I have a buy-sell agreement that makes it extremely hard for us to ever sell the business by design. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the next owner is going to be just like someone like me and good for that brand. But I really think, you know, my goal is in 15, 20 years after we bought it to be that top ceramic grill brand for that mom and pop
deal. When you think of the ceramic grill, you immediately think of Primo.
Yes.
I want a Primo.
And does that, like I said, doesn't mean we're going to sell and sell the most units because, you know, obviously the big boxes move a lot of stuff. If you're selling a Joe Jr. on Amazon for $200 like they do every, you know, and they break a third of them, they're going to move through a lot of units. But that's just, we're not trying the unit game. You know, it's as much, you know, supporting our customer, which is our dealer, to sell more things.
I like that approach, man. I think that's longevity and that's how you build a brand. I mean, that's the brand right there.
Yeah, and it was nice. Primo, the brand was there. It just needed, you know, and the ceramics, quite frankly, were on a boom there for a while. And then the pellets were on a boom. Mm-hmm. So you had kind of like, you know, every brand looks great when the market's expanding. Yeah. And now, you know, what's going to come after pellets? To me, it's going to be kind of that outdoor live fire thing. So there's always another boom. And then, you know, the different various categories will settle into their market share. And at that point, you got to take market share.
I was going to ask you that. You mentioned that your wife's from Argentina. I was like, are you thinking about getting one of those Argentine style?
Yeah, we're, I mean, it's natural. I mean, we bend sheet metal for a living.
Yeah.
It fits into what we do. There's some great brands out there already. Yeah. Quite frankly, sometimes it's easier to buy an established brand than to try to start over.
Yeah, and re-engineer and come up.
Yeah, because then what are we going to, you know, it's not a primo if it's out there live fire, like, you know, the crank cooking and this.
That's
and that.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, I am. We're designing a house in Argentina right now, and we're going to have an amazing Argentina style. It's going to be awesome. You know, I think that's coming because it's the same thing that, It's you're going back tens of thousands a year, you know, sitting around a fire and eating.
That's right, and that's what I like about it. I have one at the smokehouse, and it's it's fun to cook on those because it's different. It's live fire. Mm-hmm. It's a you take that fire pit approach or that grill where you have to build a fire and then shovel the coals under your meat and you can raise it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
but it's just is it better than my Primo? No. Is it better than my other smokers? But it's still fun.
You know, we sell gas grills, we sell ceramics. At one point, we'll probably own a pellet grill brand at one point. You know, to me, it's there's just different tools for different
That's
days.
Right.
Like, yes. I think ceramics are awesome. I think gas grills are great grills, too. Like, I'm not saying one brand's better than the other. You know, it's my job as a CEO of a business is to offer, you know, a consumer or a partner whatever one they want, you know, and not for me to tell them what they want. Like I don't think I'm Steve Jobs. Like, I can tell consumers, you know, they're you need to do this. It's to give options.
I hear you.
Yes, it's great to sell a Primo, but I'd love to sell you four different grills.
Yeah. No, I get that. Cause I personally cook on a bunch of different stuff. You know, I don't want to be pigeonholed where I've got this is the only grill I can cook on. I wouldn't want that. Yeah. You want choices.
Yeah. And that's, of course, and that's fun.
Yes.
You know, now for the two-year-old, you know, maybe having a pellet that I can light on my way home from work, you know. We're trying to figure out how to do that on our Primo first, but...
That would be cool. It'll fire itself up, auto-ignition. Yeah.
We're playing around there.
Thermostatically controlled electronic ignition on a Primo.
Then I would use it a lot more.
Yeah. Cause it makes it easy. Oh. That's right. Well, so you mentioned that you do like to travel a lot. Shell had jotted down some quick questions. These are just going to be kind of fast fires, but so where is your, like, you've been all over the world now. Mm-hmm. Where's your favorite location to go?
Italy.
So it's Italy.
Yeah. It was with my wife. Went to grad school in Milan. She speaks the language. I'm a history dork, like the Roman history, like mm-hmm. aqueducts and stuff like that. Like, that stuff is just, it blows my mind. And you have the wine, you have the cheese, you have the culture. You basically have everything that St. Louis doesn't have.
Well, they've got a little Italy in St. Louis.
Yeah. We have a hill. That's funny.
Yeah, the hill.
The hill.
Yeah.
In fact, the first time we went to the hill, my wife wanted to move there because it's a nice little spot of St. Louis. But yeah, it's I'll be honest. Yeah, my birthday's coming up, and you know, what do you want to do for your birthday? And so that's what I want to do.
Go to Italy.
Yeah.
Do you have a country that has the best food to you? Is would it be Italian or?
Yeah. The cheese.
Cheese. Wine and cheese.
Pizza. I mean, I'll have a pizza every day. I'll have one pizza a day when I'm there every day.
You can brush up on your pizza styles there. Come Absolutely. Back and cook them on a Primo, man.
Argentina is a sleeper for food, too.
Well, you know, beef's huge there.
Yeah.
I mean.
And they live fire it.
Yeah.
So when you go to the restaurants in Buenos Aires, what's the name? Like I forget now, but it's like the most famous. You're looking as close as I am to you to the steaks being cooked on this massive fire.
Yeah.
And they have like 12 going at a time. It's super cool.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, I think when you said that, I think of those Texas restaurants that have those pits in the middle where all the meat's piled up on it. You see the sausages hanging up top.
Absolutely. And this is in downtown Buenos Aires, which is like Chicago.
Yeah.
This isn't like rural. Like, this is in their like downtown Chicago where they have these massive open fires inside of a restaurant. And it's like, you know, these days with the Argentinian economy having some issues, like a nice bottle of wine and a steak's like $15.
Wow.
And like
that's a reason to go to Argentina.
Yeah, it's this restaurant. It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know. Of course. At least I don't just have one bottle of wine. But it's like, you know, dinner for $30-$40 and amazing. And that's considered like expensive. Like if you go rural, it's even cheaper.
Cheaper. Yeah. So What is your favorite dish that you can't get in the U.S. of all your travels?
Favorite dish I can't get in the U.S.?
Is that a tough
one? That one might be a tough one.
I don't know.
You can think
cheese.
Yeah, cheese.
Well, you know, that's actually a good point. The, you know, even the Argentinian, the Brazilian, and the Greek cultures do fried cheese. You know, George, when I went over, George, the founder of Primo, he's Greek. The incredible fried cheese, like kind of a starter. We don't really do, you don't really see a fried cheese starter here.
It's not.
When you said that, I think of cheese sticks, the breaded ones, you know.
These are lightly breaded and, you know, depend on the country what the cheese it is. But I remember being in Brazil and, you know, you had a fried cheese with every meal, and Greece does it well and Argentina does it well.
Is it like pan fried?
Yeah, pan fried.
Yeah.
Oh. I would be down with that.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, cheese is my downfall.
Yeah.
Like, man, I love it. I love it. It doesn't love me, but I love it.
Didn't you do fried cheese on a Primo? Like, we did that, or it was like grilled cheese or something like that. You did those cheese sticks?
I did, and it was like they call it a bread cheese.
Yeah.
And so it's firmer, and it is cheese, but it was really good.
You did. You put sticks in it.
And brushed them with the garlic butter and did that. That was
this is like a block of cheese, like a rectangle block of cheese. Sometimes breaded, sometimes just sauteed.
So how do you eat it with a knife and fork, or do you just break it off?
As fast as possible. knife and fork, because it can be kind of hot sometimes. But yeah, my wife will actually make it at home sometimes. Because when we go to South Florida, there's some Argentinian grocery stores there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a pain in the butt to make yourself, but it's she'll do it for me, you know, those special moments.
Well, have you found yourself being in the kitchen or on the grill more so now that you have Primo than you did before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to now the spring, because just sitting outside, because, you know, now, you know, we don't go to bed till, like, my daughter doesn't go to bed till like 9. We're in Argentinian style sleep. So, you know, you can have dinner at 6 to 7 and sit outside in the back with the dog and just grill. And, you know, my daughter loves to play outside, so kind of do that together.
So it makes it a great family event.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, it's better to be outside. Except for the allergy side of things.
Well,
but that's so almost over now.
Then we get the mosquitoes, and then we get the massive summer
heat. We get mosquitoes for about a week, and then the bats show up, and then they're gone in 48 hours.
Hey, I can deal with that. Yeah. I can deal with some bats. That doesn't scare me at all. Well, so new and exciting coming up with Primo. Is there anything you can drop on us that we may not know about, or the listeners may be interested in hearing?
Well, the 2XL is kind of what we're promoting, that 500, which is
that's the big one recently I have.
Which I will say, if you're interested in it, go to our social media. We have a pre-order section, which we just asked for like $50. That pre-order is more so because we may or may not have a special gift for people that pre-order.
Okay.
And then we can send that to you. It's not for us to get $50. It's we have some special gifts that we want to share with our friends that were kind of first to order.
That's cool.
So, and right now we have a lot more gifts than we have pre-orders. Yeah. So if you hear this, kind of get signed up on that. And if you end up buying one that doesn't have a gift, reach out to me with your address, and we can kind of take care of you there too. I kind of probably spilled the beans on the marine grade one.
Yeah.
That's we haven't even talked about that yet. Really announced it yet. But that's just, you know, the coast. It's kind of funny because California doesn't really ask for it. It's more so the Florida, the Alabama, those coasts, which I don't understand.
That's interesting,
But, you know, we do a lot of business in the Southeast. It's always been one of our top markets. So
Florida's huge. Yeah. Florida's huge for us. Texas, California, it's huge. I mean, it's a big barbecue state. People don't think of barbecue when they think of California, but it's coming on strong as far as people doing a lot of good stuff out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably it. And if you guys have any ideas, like I've been telling I want to do some sort of like frying machine or contraption or something. Cause that's another thing. Basically, like, the things I want to do are things I don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always been afraid, like, well, you can use a skillet to fry wings. I'm like, I don't think I'm capable of that.
Yeah.
So we're kind of playing around stuff like that. So if anyone has any ideas, we just come out with a griddle. Griddle is a lot of fun. We actually make that ourselves instead of importing it from China. So it's one of the few things, probably the only griddle that's made here, really. But if anyone has any ideas or suggestions, or, you know, we ask probably every 6 months, 12 months on the social media, hey, what should we do? Any ideas? And I mean, probably 90% of the ideas come from you guys that are out there. You know,
so you're listening. That's important.
Yeah. I mean, I joke, like I get to take credit for this stuff, but it's none of these are really my idea. You just got to, that's why we love having 20, 30, 40,000, you know, members of these groups. You know, these are the people who really know what the hell's going on. And those are the people we got to listen to.
Yeah. So go ahead and plug the where people can get in on some of this Primo talk. And
Facebook
everything.
Is like the, obviously you can follow Primo on Facebook, just a corporate, but it's like Primo BBQers, you know.
That's the community.
Yeah.
Kind of Primo
it was
community.
Started, we actually didn't start it. It started, I don't even know when. We just kind of help, you know, manage it now. Yeah, that's the main one. And then, yeah, and just follow us on Instagram or Facebook.
And it's primogrills.com.
Yeah.
That's the website. And you can go there. You can watch the video we've mentioned a couple times.
Yeah,
it's on there.
Awesome. Maybe Primo Grill. I don't know if there's an S. I don't know. You can Google it.
Tell me exactly which one it is, Shell, so we can make sure we put it out there. We try to put it in every episode. But we want people to go check out the Primo website so they can read this
Primo
backstory.
Grill. Yeah, PrimoGrill.com.
Yeah, the backstory is there. The video is also right on the front page. The plant video.
And you can check out all the accessories and everything that's available, the different size or different configurations of the Primo Grill. And
find out where to buy, where you can go and see them and put your hands on
that's
them.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, Nick, is there anything else you would like to mention before we cut out of here today?
No, this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And this is actually really impressive what you have going on down here.
Well,
this is legit. And yeah. And I don't know if any of you guys are in this area, but you should come visit the store. He has a store here. I didn't realize there's a store here. Yeah. This is a destination to come visit.
We've been having a lot of fun here in Hernando. You know, it's home to us. We've been here, I guess, 7 years now.
Longer than that.
8 years?
Yeah.
Late, so it's late, yeah. Yeah. Well, we had been in this building.
Yeah, we bought the building in 2020 in the middle of COVID. So.
Yeah, so we kind of had those pains too. We knew what that was like, but it's on a much smaller scale than you.
Yeah, I can't, like, you know, one of the things about COVID is everyone was like, "Hey, look how much my sales are up! If only I could just get labor or materials." I'm like, the same reason why your sales are up is because you can't get, like,
yeah,
that's right.
Like, you see these CEOs on TV that are trying to take credit for something, and then guys, it's like they annoyed the hell out of me. Like, no, you did not increase sales. The market did. The same reason why you can't find employees right now. You get take credit for the good stuff and then blame other people for the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it wasn't fun, but, you know, it's business is business. It was life. Like, we could have been a hell of a lot worse. You know, I had buddies that didn't have businesses for a while.
Absolutely.
So, like, we were absolute amazingly fortunate that we were on the good side of a worldwide tragedy. So,
I mean, just the restaurant business, that industry just got torn apart.
Hammered.
And luckily we were on this side of it and people were cooking at home and wanting to learn how. So that kind of helped. But
I will say I am happy that these spikes are over.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe I'm boring these days, but, you know, I love being able to forecast and plan. And instead of, you know, a 3X spike and then a 3X decline.
Yeah. It's hard. That's hard to explain to somebody. And they're like, what happened to you? But anything we did, it's just right. You know, there's somewhere in the middle there is where it's supposed to be.
Well, look at how great I am at buying Primo. We're going for 5 months.
That was a genius
now
move.
Now sales are up 300%. Like, no, it had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
It's a great place to cut your teeth and to go through all that. So 20 years now, you can look back on it.
Learning lessons.
Yeah, look at that.
Learning lessons. I got learning lessons here in 17 years.
Well, Nick, anytime you want to come back and talk Primo or just talk anything with us, man, you're more than welcome. You know, it's been a pleasure to kind of get to know you and get to know about Primo more. I know everybody's going to like knowing that story and hopefully, you know, people will buy some Primo grills.
Let's hope. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it very much.
Sir, it's been
a pleasure. Thank you for coming out.
Yep. Cheers.